Raise your hand if you knew someone in Florida or on the East Coast personally when Hurricane Matthew was coming through. Raise your hand. How many of you knew someone personally? Yeah, a lot of us. My wife's mother lives in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Her brother and family live in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And Cocoa Beach, it was projected that the eye of the storm would hit right onto Cocoa Beach. And it didn't exactly do that. And what is, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but there was definitely damage. Here's a couple of pictures from Cocoa Beach, Florida, during Hurricane Matthew. Parts of Haiti, however, were hit much harder. Here's a picture of Haiti from the devastation of Hurricane Matthew. Some of us have lived through natural disasters. My sister and brother-in-law were in Japan when the great tsunami hit in 2011. They will never forget the experience the rest of their lives. And while some of us have experienced natural disasters, almost all of us have experienced various types of disasters in life. Maybe you lose your job unexpectedly, or your marriage is in trouble, or you experience the heartache of divorce, or you're in a financial crisis, you experience the unexpected death of a loved one, or there's intense spiritual attack on you, or intense spiritual attack on your family, or you have a chronic illness that continues to get worse, or someone is spreading vicious lies about you. Could be anything. These unexpected experiences can shake our lives and they can shake our faith. Life is fragile. And at times we find ourselves in a state of crisis, experiencing a spiritual earthquake. What's the difference between those who weather the storm and come out stronger versus those who find themselves struggling and just seemingly in a tailspin, cannot seem to get out of it? Well, Jesus teaches us a parable in the Gospel of Matthew of two builders, one who built his house on the sand and the other who built his house on the rock. One who weathers the storm, the other who doesn't. And I want to give you a little pop quiz. How many of you hate pop quizzes because you weren't prepared? You hate pop quizzes. I'm going to give you a pop quiz. And it's one question. In the parable, comparing those who build their house on sand or those who build their house on rock, what does Jesus say is the clear difference between the two? So let me give you a few minutes to chat with someone sitting next to you, see if you know the answer. And I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm going to give you a little hint, okay? The answer is not Jesus, okay? Let's just be clear. The answer is not Jesus. So just take a moment. What is the difference between the two? Do you know the difference? Chat with your neighbor, see what you come up with, and then we'll check our answers here in a minute. Okay, how many of you have confidence that you have the right answer? Raise your hand. Come on, I want to see a lot of hands. A lot of confidence in the room. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read the passage. And as we read the passage, I want you to note the difference between the person who builds his house on the rock and the person who builds his house on the sand. Because Jesus articulates a stark contrast. So we're going to read it together, and as we read it, you're going to find out whether or not you knew the answer. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24, it says this. Pay close attention. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So what is the difference between the house on the rock and the house on the sand? What is the difference? A permit. Okay. Well, if you're going to get the permit approved, what's the difference? Clearly the difference is those who put Jesus' words to practice. Now, that's the difference. Those who put Jesus' words to practice. Raise your hand if you got the right answer, by the way. Wow. That's interesting. We've all heard this parable, you know, house built on sand, rock, and almost no one got the right answer. Interesting. What's God saying to us about that fact? Now, one of the interesting marks about the two builders is that there's some commonality. What's the commonality between the two? As the passage, we just read the passage. What's the commonality between the two? What is it? Both hear the word. Both receive the revelation. Only one of them puts it into practice. The other doesn't. That's the difference. Earlier this fall, we did a series called From Rest to Revelation. I'm going to ask Donna Kohlinger to come up, and she's just going to share a few thoughts. How you doing this morning, Donna?
Okay.
Doing okay. All right. Thanks for coming.
My name is Donna Kohlinger. My husband Larry and I have been members here for many years, and I was really grateful for this series of messages on rest and revelation. It's brought some changes to my life, some much-needed changes. I've known for some time that my life, in many ways, is too busy, trying to cram too many things in, even though I'm retired. It started first this summer when I listened to the words of Johnny Dias' song, Breathe. There was a line in that song that says, lay down what's good and find what's best. And this summer, I wanted to spend my time on what was best. And for me, that was time with my grandkids. We had a really good time together, and I hope we made some memories. Larry and I just returned from a three-week, 4,200-mile driving trip to Colorado. I'm not a good car rider. I'd rather fly. I want to get there and get going with things. Larry likes to drive. I've joked for years that Larry finds joy in the journey, but not me. I've always filled the ride with having the radio on, singing along with the music, having to search for a new station when the current station faded away as we traveled. If not the radio, one CD after another. Then entered the era of the computer and the cell phone. Now I could play around with my computer or the phone and try to survive this long drive. Sirius XM radio made my life easier because at the touch of a finger, I had many stations to choose from. After listening to Chris's message, I decided to try a different approach to car travel, and it was amazing. This was, I think, our fourth trip going west, and I saw things I'd never seen before. The radio was off. There were no CDs in the CD player, no Sirius XM. Very little phone use, just quietness and observation. I saw things I'd never noticed before. the amazing changing landscape as we traveled west, displaying God's amazing creativity. There were so many times when I just had to say, God, you could have made this earth bleak, colorless, and ugly. But instead, you created all this beauty and diversity for us to enjoy because you love us so much. I lost count of how many times I said, God, thank you. Thank you for this incredible display. This beauty just took my breath away. Another amazing result of quietness was that Larry and I talked about what we were seeing. In over 51 years of marriage and many miles traveled in our car, we've done very little of this. It's hard to talk to me when I'm always singing along with the music or listening to talk radio. We talked about the devotional we'd had in the morning. We talked about our family and our plans for the future. Many times there was just stillness, and I found this to be soothing and refreshing, just as I relaxed and listened. This is something that Larry's known for a long time, and now I know why. I can't hear God when my life is filled with noise and busyness. I can't notice and reflect when my body and my mind are always occupied. This vacation time was very special to me. It was restful and a blessed time for God to speak to me and reveal himself. This time, I actually found joy in the journey.
Amen. Thank you so much, Donna. We talked about rest to revelation, to response to revival, this progression that we see in the scriptures. And it's very difficult for us to hear God if our lives are so busy, if we don't create margin in our lives. We talked a lot about that, how in order to hear from God, we need to create the margin. So we talked a lot about rest to revelation. This morning, I just want to just give a few words about the specific connection between revelation and response. Revelation and response. If we think about revelation and response, we know that God speaks to us in a variety of ways. He speaks to us through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, through other people, through nature, through promptings, through emotions, through dreams, through visions, through prophetic words, etc. Spiritual growth is about hearing from God and then responding. And we respond in a variety of ways as well. We respond to God by worshiping him. We respond to God by changing how we view ourselves. We respond to God how we view others. Our thinking changes. Our actions change. And so there are two things when we think about revelation and response that we want to specifically grow in. One is this idea that over time, we want to increase the percentage of time that when we receive revelation, we do respond, that we actually act. God may speak to you from the Bible or through someone else or through a prompting or some other way, and you actually follow through with what God says. When that percentage grows of how often we respond to what God says, we're growing in our relationship with God. The second thing is we want to also, as part of our growth, lessen the duration between him communicating to us and us responding. When God speaks to us, we want to respond more quickly than we used to. It's also a part of growing in our relationship with God. And so we read, for example, in Matthew 21, the following, 28 through 32. Jesus says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' His son said, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir. I'll do what you say.' But he didn't do it. Which of the two sons did what his father wanted? Well, the first, they answered. Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you, even though you know much more of the Bible than everyone else. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. God would much rather us say to him, no, we will not respond to you, or no, God, I will not do what you say, and then go do it, than he would for us to say, oh, yes, God, thank you for showing that to me, and I will do that, and then we don't. He'd much rather you say no and then do it than say yes and then you don't do it. So it's the frequency of how often we respond to revelation, and it's the duration between hearing and doing. And let me just say that I could not be more proud of our church. And let me tell you why I'm so proud of you. I see the frequency increasing of responding to what God says. And I see the duration of time between hearing and responding shortening. And let me just say, it is noticeable in our church. That growth curve is noticeable. Let me give you some examples. Last week we had a healing service, and I was at all three services last week, and let me tell you what I witnessed. We made the case through the scriptures that God cares about every aspect of our lives and that he wants us to be vulnerable and to ask for prayer about whether it's a large thing or a small thing, because he cares, and he wants us to be specific about our needs and to ask frequently for prayer. And let me just tell you that we probably had, over the course of three services, about 200 people last Sunday who asked for prayer. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. How did that happen? Well, God spoke to you through his word as we read it, that he wants you to be vulnerable, he wants you to be specific about what you need prayer for, and people responded. And not only did they responded in a very short duration of time. We heard the passage, we meditated on it, and many responded. Okay, well, I guess I could be vulnerable and ask for prayer. And here's what else happened. We had probably, over the course of three services, about another 250 people who actually stepped up and prayed for someone. And here's how that happened. People indicated that they had a need for prayer. And if you were in close proximity to someone and you saw they had a need for prayer, you were prompted by the Spirit to go and pray for them, and you did. And in fact, many people prayed last week for healing, and it was the first time they had ever prayed out loud for someone for healing. I just want you to know, from my vantage point, witnessing all this over three services, I was overcome with encouragement and awe. And I believe it's indicative of what God is doing in so many lives within our church family, people responding to God. And I know that most of you are sensing the same thing, not only in our church family, but in your own life. Because when we did our yearly spiritual assessment this past spring, here was the result after hundreds of people responded. On spiritual character, over the last 12 months, do you feel you've grown in your spiritual character? Fruits of the Spirit, loving your enemies, devotion life, giving, purity, prayer, humility, compassion. 86% said, I feel like I am growing in this area of my life. How about spiritual influencing others? Over the last 12 months, do you feel you've grown in your spiritual influence of others? The spiritual gifts, sharing the gospel, discipling others, praying for others, healing the sick, blessing the least, the last, and the lost. 74% said, I feel like I'm growing in my spiritual influence of others. You see, spiritual growth is about revelation and response. Hearing God and doing what he says. Maybe you read something in God's word about forgiveness and you realize you haven't forgiven someone in your heart. And you're convicted by that and you forgive them. Maybe you're prompted at work to reach out to a coworker with a word of encouragement, and you do. Maybe God speaks to you in a dream and you take that seriously and you seek discernment from others and respond. Maybe you're overcome with the beauty of God's creation one day and you just break out into song and prayer and worship. Maybe you're talking to someone who's not yet a follower of Jesus, and all of a sudden there's an opportunity to share your testimony of how God's working your life. And even though you're nervous about it and you don't know how that person will respond, you actually share. Maybe you're experiencing the emotion of anxiety or loneliness or worry, and as you reflect on why you're having that emotion, God reveals to you that you're not trusting in him or you're trying to take things in your own control. And so you release your concerns and difficulties to God's loving care. You see, the difference between the man who builds his house on sand versus the man who builds his house on the rock is not who hears the Lord. It's not the one who knows more of the Bible or recognizes God's promptings or who has a better doctrinal understanding or hears God through prophetic words or dreams or who's more aware of God and how he's speaking. Both can have immense access an understanding of God's revelation. But the man who builds, or the woman who builds his house on the rock versus the sand, there's only one clear difference. Are you doing what God says? Are you responding? The one with the greater foundation is the one who responds and does something about what God says. Let's just read the parable one more time because almost no one in the room understood the difference when we first started between building your house on the sand and building your house on the rock. Jesus says this, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not respond and put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let me give you one other passage that communicates the same thing. James chapter 1, verses 22 and following. It says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. And by the way, the reason it deceives you is because you think when you have understanding of the word and revelation, which sometimes is a journey in and of itself, there's spiritual growth taking place. Ah, I understand that more. Oh, thank you very much. I understand that passage now. Oh, I'm growing because I'm learning. There's an inner deception when we understand and learn, and it doesn't translate into life change. So do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Whoever looks intently in the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Now, I want you to take this card out. Everyone should have a card. Everyone take a card out. Let me say a couple of things about this card. If you notice on the back of the card, there's two questions. How is God getting my attention? i.e., how is God speaking to me? What's the revelation he's given me? And in what specific ways do I tend to respond? What am I going to do about it? Now, we're going to use this card, and let me tell you why. We're going to use this card now every single Sunday. And let me tell you why. It is another tool to help you build your house on the rock and not on the sand. When you come to a church service and you listen to a message and you hear scripture verses and you listen to Bible teaching and you hear life illustrations and stories and testimonies and you receive all this revelation, often what ends up happening is that we hear God's word and we don't actually do anything about it. And when you hear God's word and you do nothing about it, you're building, let's be clear, you're building your house on sand. And so actually writing it down, what you hear the Lord saying to you, is a helpful way of articulating what it is God's saying to you. And then the next question is, how are you going to respond? It helps you go through the process of actually having a plan of doing something about it. It is a discipline that will over time increase the likelihood that you will respond. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard, oh, Chris, that was a really good message. And I'd just say, thank you. My guess is if I were to follow up that question with, after it was a really good message, if I were to ask, oh, okay, well, thanks a lot. What do you plan to do about it? I probably would get a lot of blank stares. Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do about it, but it was a great message. It's really easy to do. I mean, it is Christian ease to the max. You read the Bible. You listen to a sermon. You go through a Bible study or a class. And because you understand, you think you're growing. It's deception. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because I see an increased level of response. But this will help us respond even more specifically. I challenge you every time you read the Bible. I've been doing this. I read a portion of a passage of scripture most days. And after I read it, I just ask the question, okay, I just read that. What do I plan to do about what I just read? Let me tell you one more helpful way this card is a tool. We have a lot of people that visit our church over the year, and sometimes we hear that it's difficult for them to connect and get involved at Grace. And part of the challenge from our end is that we don't get their contact information early enough, so we don't connect with them. And having everyone fill this card out will help us get that contact information so that we can connect with them. And so obviously if you're a regular attender, you don't need to fill out all the details on the front side. But we want to ask you to fill it out at least the back of it every week, not only as a tool to help you in your own growth, but to encourage others around you to fill it out as well. Because if we were just to ask, okay, all the visitors fill out a form, fill out this little card, and they look around and no one else is filling it out, then they're not going to do it either. They don't want to be pointed out. But if everyone's doing it, then they're likely, more likely to do it. And so do it for yourself and do it for others. So let me just take a moment and just ask you, if I were sitting down with you for some coffee and I say, So during this particular service and this particular message, how did God speak to you? Would you know how to articulate it? And then if I asked you, are you building your house on sand or rock? Would you know the difference? And what are you, how are you responding to the revelation you were just received? Just take a moment and just jot down a couple of thoughts on a card. It helps you in your mind. It's a part of the discipline of being able to understand what God's saying and what you plan to do. So just go ahead, just do that right now. And if it's awkward for you or you have a hard time articulating that, let it be something that you grow in. Because maybe you're used to getting revelation and then walking away and not doing anything about it. Because you aren't even sure exactly how to articulate what God just said to you or what you plan, how you plan to respond. And so while you're filling out that card, let me just, as we move to a time of response, just to read what some of the prayer team, as they prayed before the service, as they were listening to the Lord and asking him to speak with regard to maybe issues and areas of prayer for people in our service today. And so these are words that may be from the Lord. They may just be just prayers that the prayer team had. You can discern that. But if they're relevant to you, then perhaps you can respond to receive prayer. Maybe someone that's dealing with left wrist pain or a right shoulder, upper arm pain, or someone who's experiencing extreme anxiety or breathing problems. Those were the specific words that as they were praying, they felt like God was emphasizing. So if that fits any of you this morning, we'd love to pray for you. Others who had words of encouragement that maybe these apply to you as well. Don't be weary in doing good. Maybe you're getting weary. Or that our strength comes from having a strong core with the Lord. And you need more strength. Or lastly, there's an expectation of being filled by the Lord, even through fatigue, and you're feeling fatigue, but you want to be more filled with his strength. If any of those are areas in which God is speaking to you or apply to you, I want to encourage you to go to the prayer team on the right side of the stage. Or if you have areas of physical healing that you want prayer for, or emotional healing or spiritual healing, I want to encourage you to respond to that prompting and be vulnerable and ask for prayer and go to the prayer team with that. And so let's just go ahead and prepare for our closing time of response. And so, Lord, we just want to say together that we're sorry, and please forgive us for the times in which we receive your revelation and we walk away and we don't do anything about it. And we know what Jesus is here saying about that. That is a recipe for building our house on sand. And when the storms of life come, we're taken over. And so, Lord, we want to build our house on a firm foundation, on a rock that withstands the difficulties of life. And we want it clear in our mind what the difference is. It's actually putting your revelation to practice, putting Jesus' words to action. And we want to grow in that. And I thank you that we are growing in that. And may this card be another helpful way at the end of every service we can articulate what you're saying to us and what we plan to do about it so that we can grow in building our house on the rock. And so we just pause for a moment and just allow you and your spirit to emphasize something in the message or the testimony or in the service today that applies directly to us. Something that you want us to respond to. And so we just, for a few moments, just listen. And so during our worship time and prayer time. I just want to encourage you just to take this card, put the pen back on it. And we have baskets up here. We have baskets by the garage doors. You can turn it in after the service if you'd like. But during our time of response, feel free to turn these cards and pens in. Let's stand together. Encourage you to go to the prayer team right away and seek out the areas where you need prayer.